Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. Now, before we get started, I want to shout out to a friend that wrote to correct me for using class language to make a point last week on how corporate and social welfare are being used to squeeze out the so-called middle class. He objected on the ground that class is a social construct used to divide people and superimpose a sort of European social structure of lords and serfs, you know, over our egalitarian ideals. And I agree. Truly, class and race, too, by the way, are artificial constructs invented in hell. I admit that I uncritically use the nomenclature of contemporary parlance as a rhetorical means of communicating an otherwise complicated concept while avoiding the onerous task of explaining something else before I could explain something. Okay, allow me to have a little fun here. But you are right, my friend. Upper class, middle class, lower class are categories better identified as upper income, middle income, and lower income. God bless you and thank you. Now, to the brain massage.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
One of my news sources just got put into Twitter jail. She responded to a question, what would our founders have done about Joe Biden? Her answer, well, they hung traitors, didn't they? There is a spirit of the eagle in my dove. King Biden says no 4th of July unless you children get your shots. Is Warren afraid Biden's going to start a nuclear war? She introduced a bill prohibiting the United States from starting one. Well, when could you really use a Galaxy Quest Q13? You know, when LeBron tweets something really stupid, that would be a good time. BLM storm, Oklahoma State Capitol forced the legislature into lockdown. But at least two things prove this is not like the January 6th quote-unquote insurrection. Wait for it. Talking about storming the Capitol. Nancy leads the House to stack the Senate. They want to stack the court. They want to stack the Senate. They voted to make Washington, D.C. the 51st state. But isn't this a violation of the Constitution? Well, actually, yes. And I'll show you where. From POW MIA flags to the Pride flag. What flag do you fly under? And what cause do you cheerlead? But the really big news is Mike Lindell's new social media platform, frankspeech.com, and the release of his newest documentary, Absolute Interference. It's a must-see. I'll touch on it here, but you'll really need to view the entire documentary. Arizona begins the audit today. I just got a notification that it's going to go unhindered by efforts on the part of Hillary's attorneys, to try to get an injunction against it, kind of thing. But remember, I produced the show on Fridays. Mr. Pulitzer will be leading the forensic investigation. It started today. And hey, Trump speaks out about this. It's interesting what he has to say. The insanity of liberals is dangerous. You know, Gates wants to block the sun. Yeah. Now, Kerry wants to get carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere. So that's what the masks are about. Well, let's see here. I need to at least speak to the Makia shooting. But in all honesty, this story kind of blows up the critical race theory narrative. And, I need to offer an updated battlefield assessment. That's probably what we're going to work on today. Hey, GAP conference is coming. April 26 and 27 begins Monday night at 7, continues Tuesday at 9:30, runs through lunch, and then we come back again at 7 p.m. on Tuesday. We have some special guests with us. South Carolina preacher Mark Agin will be with us, and California Senator Mike Morrell. He will speak Tuesday morning in the second session. Sessions begin at 9:30, and all are welcome. Monday, 7 p.m., Tuesday, 9:30 a.m. through noon, and then 7 p.m. we wrap it up. Okay, my friends, it's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
When you could really use a Galaxy Quest Q13? The answer? When LeBron decides to send a stupid tweet. Oh, how LeBron wishes he could have the 13 seconds before he hit the send on that one. Activate Q13, you know. A gull named LeBron and a knife-wielding girl named Makia. Makia? Maybe you did not know that a gull is someone duped. The great dunker got duped. Yeah, the backstory is emerging, and we have a few details. Makia gets into a kerscuffle with someone in her home over messy rooms and dirty dishes. Roommates? I don't know. Family members, huh? Visiting relatives, neighbors? We don't know yet. Someone calls in to 911 claiming that some girl is wielding a knife and threatening people in the house. The police arrive and the activity now is outside. This girl is going at two others with a knife. And I mean, we're talking not like some little pen knife, man. We're talking about like, it looks like a butcher knife out of the kitchen drawer. She can be seen and heard on the video going at one of the girls with her knife poised to strike, saying, "I'm going to stab the bleep out of you, bleep." Huh. The officer shoots the perpetrator multiple times. She dies from her wounds. Very tragic. The persons involved in this are black. Apparently, that's important. You know, it's all about the color of someone's skin these days, right? So NBC doctors the video and removes the knife from the hand of the perpetrator and presents this as yet another story of police brutality, a white cop killing a black teenager. ABC was somewhat more honest about the whole thing, but the spin was pretty much the same. The racists are all in uproar over another black teenager getting shot. Me? Well, I am in uproar over the breakdown of morality in our nation that leads to this kind of thing. You know, the breakdown of the home, the family. You know, that whole love one another stuff, right? That bit about loving your neighbor as you love yourself. You know, that whole Christian values thing that used to be the prevailing ethos of this country. So here's a preacher now talking to Sean Hannity, Sean Hannity is trying to help this preacher. I have to mention that he's black because that's, you know, always what all of this is about these days, isn't it? I mean, it's no longer about stopping crime or about criminal behavior or about, well, about someone trying to kill someone with a knife. It's all about the color of those involved. So I can't even talk about this without reference to the color, which ought to have no part in this discussion. But yeah, we have to. What can I say? The preacher was black. And he was angry at the police officer for shooting this young black girl. And Hannity is trying to get this guy to think this through. So he says, what if the black girl being threatened by the other black girl with a knife, what if that girl being victimized was your daughter? Do you think in that case the officer should have protected your daughter? Would the shooting then be justified? Well, the black preacher just, you know, and I have to say that because you understand we can't have a conversation about any of this without clarifying what color each person is. So, by the way, I should tell you, Hannity is white. So the black preacher kept equivocating, dodging, ducking, and weaving until he finally surrendered and admitted the truth. He said, well, it's like this. It depends on which of the girls is my daughter. If the girl being threatened by the knife-wielding black girl is my daughter, well, then I want that officer to shoot the attacker and protect my daughter. If the knife-wielding teen is my daughter, well, then I don't want him to shoot my daughter. And so, you see, there it is. It's about who's my daughter. It's not about justice. It's not about judgment. It's not about protecting the life of one from the aggression of another. In other words, you see, this black preacher prefers the police officer to allow his daughter to stab the bleep out of that bleep rather than shoot his daughter. Now, no father could hear this and not understand where he's coming from. But listen, the selfishness is unreal. The total disregard for justice. Justice doesn't even show up in this conversation. So LeBron tweets how tired he is of black kids getting shot. He posts a picture of the officer with, "You're next." What? some newser gets on, and the focus is all on the officer. Why didn't he tase? Why didn't he shoot a warning shot? Why didn't he? Good night. How about why didn't he just wait until the knifer stabbed the bleep out of the bleep? And then we can get on him for allowing one black teenager to get stabbed. And we can pile on then also for killing the stabber too. You know, if the officer was protecting a white girl from a black girl attacking her with a knife, well, everybody can understand that that's not a problem. You see, that would be different. And if the white officer restrained from shooting a white attacker on a black victim, well, we all know where that would go. Because the agitators of race hatred in this country, who want us all fighting one another to keep us from looking at what they're up to, they have succeeded at making all of this about black and white. Where is justice in any of this? The officer acted to save a human life from a would-be murderer. That's the only place you find it in this story. LeBron deleted the tweet. Good for him. Maybe after a moment's reflection, he understood that this officer did not shoot Makia because she was black. He shot her because she was about to stab the bleep out of, well, out of somebody's little girl. Somebody's sister, perhaps. Surely somebody's someone. Her life matters too, right? I mean, she was also black. And don't all black lives matter? Well, I guess except the 100 killed in Chicago by other black perps every day, they don't matter. LeBron has never tweeted how tired he is of that, right? So maybe the issue for LeBron actually is not about blacks being shot. Maybe it's about blacks being shot by whites, specifically by white police officers. You know, at least 283 police officers have been shot in the line of duty already this year. 44 of them have died. But if you say blue lives matter, you get shut down, man. Friend, let me tell you what bothers me about this. Let me tell you what I'm tired of. We can't get justice. Justice isn't even something we want to talk about in any kind of real terms. It's gone, man. It's all about what color someone is or whether or not they're my daughter. You get it. It's all black and white. BLM stormed the Oklahoma State Capitol, forced the legislature into lockdown. But at least two things prove this is not like the January 6th, quote-unquote, insurrection. So don't try to compare it to that. First difference is this: no officer was reported as having been killed with a fire extinguisher by a Trump supporter, who, it turns out, actually was not killed with a fire extinguisher or even bothered or touched by a Trump supporter. And then the second thing that makes a difference, there are no reports of the officers on duty at the Oklahoma Capitol waving these protesters in before they then decided to turn around and arrest them for quote-unquote insurrection. Oh yeah, there's a third. None of these incursionists were arrested, you see. None of them were accused of any crime. So anyway, I went a little bit long on this segment. I'm going to have to offer my battlefield assessment on the other side of the break. So hold on. I'll be right back.
Go to GodsWar2020.com.
California Senator Mike Morrell will be speaking at the GAP Conference, Lighthouse Baptist Church, this coming Tuesday morning. He is scheduled to speak in the second session. We start at 9:30, and you're invited to come hear the senator give us an assessment of where we are in the fight for Christian values in California and what he sees for us in our future. I hope you'll come.
God's people face a critical battle for America. We the people will take this nation back from the unreasonable and wicked men and women who have dragged this once great land to the maw of hell. Or we will fall into the power of those who hate Christ, Christians, and the Bible. Go to GodsWar2020.com. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter. Lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march. An enemy that is in the process right now of stealing from us our liberties. The insanity of liberals is dangerous. Gates wants to block the sun, and Kerry wants to get carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere. And that's a quote, by the way. And I suppose that's what the masks are about. You know, I've been trying to figure this thing out. So that's it? Humans are destroying the planet by breathing? Anyway, you know we exhale carbon dioxide. Anyway, Probably more on that tonight. Nancy leads House to stack the Senate, voted to make Washington, D.C. the 51st state. But isn't this a violation of the Constitution? Yeah, it is. And you'll find it in Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17. But because I want to spend some time on the battlefield assessment, I'm going to save that for tonight's Comforting Counsel for the Present Distress, which is a Facebook live stream. The really big news right now is Mike Lindell's new social media platform, frankspeech.com, and the release of his newest documentary, Absolute Interference. It is a must-see. Perhaps I'll get a chance to touch on it tonight, but again, I'm saving my time today for battlefield assessment. Arizona starts the audit today. And remember, I produce the show on Fridays. Mr. Javon Pulitzer will be leading the forensic investigation team examining something like 2 million ballots. He'll be using the ballots and ballot images to determine whether they are authentic or if they're produced by machine or completed by the hand of someone other than the intended voter. And he's got a way to figure all that out and to do it rather quickly. They think it's going to take about 6 weeks. That battery of 73, I think it was, lawyers that were sent by Hillary's law firm, Perkins and Coyle or something like the Cole, were not able to stop this. But I want to make sure I have time to get into the update battlefield assessment. So let's do that. Friend, we are at war. The culture war that we've been talking about for some years now has evolved. We are now under siege by a foreign power, China, CCP, using domestic traitors to undermine the Constitution. The game plan here is to reduce America to a third world nation status as punishment against her for all her evils and sins. And that coming to us by by those who could care less about all her sins, who in fact are the primary perpetrators of all her so-called sins, but who actually want to subordinate the whole world to their power, to the dictatorship of the elite, and America is in the way. What puts America in the way? Why is America a peculiar threat? Her unwillingness to finally, fully, and completely turn away from God and from the anti-tyrant creed. What is that creed? All men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. Which first principle is enshrined in the Constitution by the Bill of Rights and protected by the separation of powers established in the Constitution? Tyrants hate America. Because when America is strong, tyrants everywhere are weakened and under threat. A weak America is the only way the elites can finally and fully rule the world and shape it into their own image and likeness. America is in their way. And it's Christianity in America that is the problem. Americans are waking up to the truth that this whole thing that we're watching is the war between good and evil, between God and Satan, for control of the kingdom of man. You know, the dominion over earth's resources and control of the divinely appointed sword of vengeance. The wicked want the world and they want it now. That's what the communists, whether underground, were chanting back in the 60s, remember? We want the world and we want it now! So, to get it, the domestic terrorists of the 60s took off their tie-dyed tees and put on their Brioni suits and their Zegna Couture ties and entered into the law offices of, well, let's see, how about Bredoff and Kaiser, Cohen, Weiss and Simon, or, oh, and don't forget Perkins Cole. You know, the dossier team, and into the halls of government power and media and have donned their polo shirts and sweaters and fashion jeans and in the higher levels of academia, their bow ties and tweed jackets to enter into our schools to brainwash our children against our founders, against our Constitution, against our Bill of Rights, and most especially against the under God business, you know, and all that. All men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights stuff. They hate that so much, their mind goes numb when they try to think of it. Yeah, so they stumble around the words. They can't remember them. They can't even frame them in their head. And in frustration because the devils in them hate that so much, and they don't even want to hear it spoken from the mouth of those they control. So they just say, well, you know the thing. The devil's in Biden. And then Obama, who dropped the word creator, not once, not even twice, but three times, and probably more than that. That's just what we know about. And the Democrat Party, who literally voted to keep God out of their platform. And these wicked people have worked 24/7 toward their goal of bringing America down. Until now, they are flexing their power by attacking the churches. There's just a thin veil of indirectness in their attack. Even going so far as to arrest Christians for going to church in defiance of their unlawful orders to shut down the churches as unessential. Well, so far, our Supreme Court, at least on that, has been willing to stand in defense of First Amendment. While these people work to shut down the small businesses and prop up the big communist fascist corporations that are working together with these devils to destroy America. Meanwhile, the Christians, you know, bought into the lie that they have no part in governmental affairs and remove their salt and light from their local, their state, and their national politics. And they bought the lie that, you know, putting ungodly people into power over them, well, that's just fine, thank you. And so they voted their pocketbooks instead of their Bibles and turned the country over to people who are taken captive by Satan at his will, who have no love for God and so no love for any country under him. They are under God deniers. They are Christ deniers, for they refuse to acknowledge that Jesus, the Christ, has come into the world. You see, they are ignorant and do not understand that to declare Jesus as Christ is to declare him king. You know that the disciples were forbidden to declare openly, declare at least, that Jesus was the Christ, precisely because he was not to be declared king of this world openly until after he completed payment in full of the ransom required for the wages of sin to buy this world, the entire field, to secure the treasure he saw in it to himself. You see, the wages of sin is death, and Satan held death in his grip. But when Jesus died upon the cross, he paid the ransom. And having no sin of his own, death could not hold him. And when he arose from the dead, he was by that declared to be the Son of God with power. That's dunamis, the Son of God with the might of God. And so then he declared all power, exousia in this case, right to rule, is given unto him, he said, in heaven and in earth. And he ripped from the hands of that devil the keys of death and hell. This is the issue. Jesus has the dunamis, and now he has the freedom to use it to enforce his exousia. So turn to Christ Jesus. He is the truth, and it is the truth that will make you free. You see, that's the vantage point from which we assess the battlefield. And there are different vantage points that are used. Well, that's ours. What about the black male inflation theory? The blackmailers are losing their power. But friend, blackmail is not what holds the world from the brink. God alone holds the kingdoms in his power. The keys of Christ's kingdom authority are in the hands of his churches, not the blackmailers. The church is rising in prayer and fasting and assaulting the stronghold of Satan. So now these evil and wicked people are feeling the pressure of righteousness bearing down on their filthy necks. Ghislaine Maxwell has opened the Epstein files. I understand she has objected to and pled not guilty to the new charges that have been set against her for sex trafficking. But we'll see where that goes. Maybe she didn't get the deal she's asking for. And when we look at the maneuvers of the Illuminati, the central bankers, Rothschilds and Rockefellers et al., and their alliance with the Vatican, by the way, and every major world power and their control over them, we see them now quaking in their dark masses. Death nips at the heels of their ancient masters as they drop away. They are driven from their palaces, Buckingham, and the Vatican, and they're running out of time. Tick-tock, tick-tock, CCP can't save them. Their deep state operatives in America have been forced from the shadows into the garish light to taste the cup they dread most, the cup of truth, to them galling and damning. Their evergreen caught on their ever-given with their mockingbird press singing like the canary just before it stops singing, falls from its perch, signaling their end. A lot of metaphor there, but many of you can follow it. We look at their inverted pentagram with fearsome gender-blended goat and stand against its wiles. Submitted to God, we resist, and the power supporting their horrific hologram of tyranny shakes and wobbles as it loses its connection and its power crumbles in retreat from the thunder of the Almighty and explodes in the brightness of a single bolt of his lightning. More metaphors that I think many of you can at least appreciate. And while we appreciate all lovers of truth, however simple they might be, or ignorant, who sometimes complain against the infighting that indeed does compromise our organizational strength, but who among them are those that ridicule the church? Although Jesus started it, Jesus is its head. Jesus organized it upon his prophets and apostles. Jesus' Spirit set over it overseers charged to preach and teach the Word of God, which is revealed in the person of Christ Jesus and in the Holy Scriptures. Friend, we need the church, the true church, called by him the Scripture of Truth, who among some of these friends of liberty we cherish, speak of God as though he is reflected in everyone's imagination of deity, who know not that there is one God and Father of us all, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to be precise, and to clarify, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He and he alone is God, though we accept our Master's exhortation to not interfere with the work of any who are not our enemies, who name his name with honor. Nevertheless, when occasion serves, we will not refrain from declaring to them, as Jesus did to a certain God-fearing but confused and failed Samaritan, "Ye know not what you worship." And Jesus said to her, "Salvation is of the Jews, not Buddha, not any of the thousands of Hindu deities, not Brahma, not Mahdi, no ascended masters can bring it, but God is one, exclusive of all and any others. And his name is Jehovah, pronounced by us Jehovah, and manifested in the flesh in Jesus, of whom Thomas professed, 'My Lord and my God.'" Many of these modern Samaritans who worship God but are confused about who he is may be our friends in this fight, but they are not the source of our strength. Please listen. Our strength is not in numbers. Our strength is in the Spirit of the Almighty, not by power nor by might, but by my Spirit, saith the Almighty. And so where does our eye go as we assess the battlefield, looking for a real measure of our hope and progress toward victory? Yea, in our battlefield assessment, we attend to all of these things, but the focus of our attention is on the activity of Christ in his churches. For there is where Christ stands and where he walks. There we find the headquarters of God's kingdom on earth, where Christ is head, not man, nor any man, and we see whether the truth has still fallen into the street, or does it rest securely again upon the pillar Christ set for it in the earth, where his Spirit of truth moves. Oh, mighty God, revive your church. Not the whorish compromisers, not the bastard pretenders, but the truth-loving, the truth-doing among all men. But since judgment begins in the house of God, and the house of God is his church, we know that's where deliverance also must begin. The Christ-honoring church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So, I'll address this battlefield assessment more thoroughly tonight during Comforting Counsel for the Present Distress. For those who don't yet know that we do a live stream on Facebook almost every evening called Comforting Counsel for the Present Distress, I encourage you to go to our Facebook page, Lighthouse Baptist Church, Santa Maria, California. Like the page, set up your notifications to be notified when we go on. I have lit the lamps of the church belfry arch, and now you let me know if you see that they are on. Email me by going to our website, brainmassage.net or godswar2020.com. You can leave a message for me on our Lights On hotline, 805-314-2114. All feedback is welcome. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
For a complete brain massage experience, tune in Saturday at 12 noon. Go to godswar2020.com.